And that's not all. Buy today and we'll send you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free! Free! Free!
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's February 27th, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. I'm a very sick Chris Cosenza.
And I'm a very happy Scott Long that I'm on Skype today and not in a studio with you. Getting infected, so I will be sick on my very exciting poker cruise that I leave on tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my body is doing a preemptive strike because it knew that it would have gotten sick when it goes to Connecticut at the same time, so the body is just preparing for it or what. But every single time I have to go up there, I seem to get a cold. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, maybe you should think about going someplace a little more exciting and your body won't reject it.
Well, what's more exciting than going to Connecticut and taking all of Blasman's money?
Well, yeah, you do have that going for you. That's right. That's right.
But I've been sick the last few days, so I'm a little nasally today. Sound pretty pretty nasally.
Nasally? Are you going to be like Fran Drescher? Are you going to have the nanny on the show?
Yeah, but you know what, though? You always sound like that.
Yeah, that's true. But that's my signature sound.
I know. I sound like that because I'm sick. You sound like that because that's the genetics.
And I don't normally sound like that. It's actually a voice that I have to do, you know, kind of like, you know, Nicole Kidman sounding like she's American and not Australian.
Are you excited about going on your cruise?
I am. I'm a little bummed, obviously, that both of us are leaving out of town, and we had to get the show in the can a little early, so we're not going to have the results of tonight's Apes Free Roll, which, of course, both of us will have qualified for the next Apes event.
Absolutely.
In it. But yeah, you know, going on a poker cruise for the first time in my life, you know, I've always kind of been interested in how these things work, and, you know, certainly it's no fun going on a cruise, as you know, with no poker on board or the, what passes for poker on cruises.
Yeah.
You know, either with those little, machines or, you know, some clueless dealer. So this is an actual bona fide poker cruise, and, you know, we'll see what we do. You know, the wife, used to play in our home game, right?
Yep.
Until she said, you know, you guys got all serious. And, you know, so that's when she kind of bailed out. So she hasn't played really in a couple years now. And, of course, she's entered in the big tournament on this cruise. And so she's like, you know, hey, we got to play a little. You know, I got to remember how to play again. So so last night, you know, I set up the Annie Up chips and the those great design cards that we have. And we played a little four-person sit and go. And here's the great thing. I played three of the hands. She played just her hand. And I got to tell the Annie Up Nation this. If you can ever work that out, it is gold. It's amazing how well you play when you play three hands against one.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, she won one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, hey, she learned from the best, right?
Yeah, yeah. I taught her well.
But the first one, she bailed out pretty early, and this is my favorite quote from it. She's like, "I'm not doing anything wrong, but losing."
I feel that way all the time.
You know, I think we can need to get that on an Annie Up Cafe Press T-shirt. There, isn't that a great saying? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just losing.
Yep, that's awesome.
But yeah, we'll be on the high seas headed to the Bahamas when people are listening to this, and you'll be up listening to great classic rock in Connecticut, correct?
Yes, I cannot wait for the Def Leppard Urten Gleben Gotten Globen loop that they play on the radio stations up there. Can't wait for that. But I'm only going to be there a couple of days. I'm literally flying in on Friday night, and I'll be home Monday morning. So it's just Gene's dad's birthday, and you know, we don't know how many more we're going to have with the guy, so she really wants to go up there and see him. So while I'm up there, I'm playing a little poker with the buds and then coming right back home. So I won't be able to enjoy the cruise like you are.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. You know, it's been a while since we've been on a cruise, so I love them. The wife is not a big fan of them, but, you know, we'll find out.
I'm in Laura's camp there with the...
yes, I know. I know you are. I don't know what you guys have against the Midnight Buffet, especially when it starts at 11. That's awesome. but you know what? I'm really frustrated at now, Chris.
I have no idea.
You know, I spent a good portion of my life, probably 96% of it, you know, accumulating frequent player points on Full Tilt.
Your life or your poker life?
My life.
Your life,
yeah,
wow. It's like when you're going to the store and when you're going to the post office, you're accumulating player points somehow?
Yes, exactly.
That's
exactly.
Amazing.
That's just it. And, you know, the entire time I was trying to accumulate enough frequent player points to get myself a Full Tilt hockey jersey. And, you know, what's even more fun about that is we live in a state where you can wear a hockey jersey maybe 3 days out of 365 a year.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I was so transfixed on this. But here's the thing. Obviously, you know, PokerStars have been very generous to us. Full Tilt has not yet. Hopefully they will be soon. But, you know, I'm loyal to the folks that are loyal to me. So, you know, I'm bailing out of Full Tilt. And I didn't have enough to get this jersey. And so I've been playing a bunch of their frequent player point sit and goes.
Yeah.
Just burning through these points. You know, 1,800 points. And, you know, you win like a $26 token. I played like, 97 of these things.
Uh-huh.
And I finished fourth, 95 out of them. And, you know, the top three get a token. Nothing more frustrating than seeing 4 years of work go down, like, in one night when you're so close to so much prize.
Well, you are the bubble boy, so there's really nothing to be surprised by this. I mean...
That is very true. That is very true.
That is what you do.
So I ended up with one token out of all that that mess. So, you know, but pretty soon, you know, I'll be off and happily playing continually on Full Tilt, you know, with that great reload bonus they have there, too, now. So I'm going to have to, you know, tap the company credit card and get some money up there.
Man, I tell you, I've played in those, too. I've had, you know, some streaks where I did okay in them, and I think last year I won my main event seat through one of those, but you never know what to expect when you're playing those FPP events.
They're crazy. They're absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the one, I finished fourth like a lot, actually. I don't know how many I've been on by playing like 10 or so, and I finished fourth about seven of them, 1-1, and I had one ninth place, and my ninth place, pocket aces, I do my new patented Scott limp, and the guy behind me raised big, re-raised all in behind him. It gets to me. I push. Now there's four of us all in pre-flop.
Oh, my God.
Now, it's not an exciting thing because obviously you don't want to be up against three people drawing against your aces. But, you know, what are you going to do, fold them? No
yeah,
way.
Really.
And, of course, the guy that wins is 10-7 off. flops two pair, turns a boat, and poof, gone, just like that.
I didn't know Dan Agrano played those. I thought he was strictly on stars.
Yeah. But you know, we've had a couple of our NAMP nationals that are doing much better online than we are.
Yep.
And the first one, a longtime listener, Mousy, who wrote us in and said that, "Hey guys, I've not played on PokerStars for the longest time, but following your move to PokerStars, I redeposited, and thanks to us, Chris."
Yes.
Nobody else, not his own poker skill. All thanks to us. Mousy won a $40 super satellite into an $800 satellite for a seat at next month's European Poker Tour in Dortmund, Germany. Is it Dortmund?
Dortmund, I guess, yeah.
All right, let's just say Germany. He'll figure out where he's going. I can pronounce Germany. So, you know, on the 10th of March, he says an Annie Upper will be sitting down in, Germany, and playing the biggest game of his life. And it's all because of us, Chris.
Yep. I knew that's what was going to happen when we moved to PokerStars, that a lot of our listeners were going to sign up and give us all kinds of credit and take over the poker world by storm. So, I knew this move was going to be very fruitful for them.
You know, and Mousy, I wish you the best of luck. And I also just want to let you know that your email came over a little incomplete because the page two where you say that you're going to give 50% of your winnings in Germany did not arrive. So please send that so we have that for our records.
Yeah, I want to make sure that's filed away for legal reasons.
And then just 2 days later, another longtime anti-upper and a member of the anti-up home game, Scott C25, a.k.a. Snuffy, part of the big corporation blog group.
Yep.
He writes us he won a seat on PokerStars into the, and I had to actually look this up. I feel so bad. It looked cool, but it was one of those acronyms like, you know, FBI or CIA that I just can't figure out on my own.
Yeah.
And it was, he won a seat in the Australian-New Zealand Poker Tour Sydney event.
Unbelievable. He wins some of the weirdest seats ever.
He does. He flew to like Macau last year or something like that. He got that little, you know, size double S shirt that they gave out there that I think most of his other opponents were probably swimming in, but he couldn't wear. But yeah, so, you know, I think it was like a $1,400 seat. Now, of course, he's got to get his butt all the way out to Sydney, and, you know, I haven't checked the train fares, but we'll see. Maybe that's cheap to get there. train or I think a schooner or something, but...
not looking but forward hey, to that. It's... I'm sure he's not looking forward to that, what, 19-hour flight?
But hey, you know, you win a main event seat, you gotta get there. So, but so congratulations to both those guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic, unbelievable.
And then we got a great letter here from another one of our listeners, Jen. We just used her handle a couple weeks ago, so no swag for you. This is a frustrating thing. I think we've experienced in our home game, Chris, and I imagine other people have too. She says that. You know, she's trying to keep her home game from breaking up. Not so much breaking up, but they're kind of at a little crossroads here. And they play a weekly game, and it's a low limit. People like to buy in just like $5 or so. And some of them are casual players, but some of them, like her, obviously, are you know, wanting to work on their game a little bit. So the problem is the rising cost of the game, and they got these small blinds, and people raise big to... you know, protect their hands, and so when people buy back in, now they're buying. They want to buy in back for $20 so they can compete with folks. And now the game all of a sudden is playing a lot bigger than what people.
Right.
And so she wants to know if there's a good home game structure where you can put limits on it, but it doesn't work out unfair or boring for those to get knocked out early.
I remember this. I wrote a letter back to her. I told her one thing that she could do is lower the blinds instead of 5 cent, 10 cent. For a $5 buy-in, make it 1 cent, 2 cent.
Penny ante game.
Yeah, and then make the buy-ins if they want to rebuy. You know, make it strict. Make them say you can only buy in again for $5. You know, don't let them buy in for whatever they want to. You know, that's the rule of the house. House rules say, you know, you can only buy in for $5 to try to keep it competitive. You know,
not bad. Well, you know, I suggested something that we used to do in our game, and that was to have, you know, a series of sit-and-goes during the night.
Right.
You know, if people are willing to put in, I don't know, let's say they're willing to commit $25 for the night, you know, you do five of them at $5 or something like that, and, you know, now you're playing real poker. Now you don't have to worry about these crazy raises and the small thing, and you're playing real poker, and it's tournament poker, and you know, you're not going to lose any more than you put in, and I don't know, you know, we used to do that for a while, and it was fun, and then, of course, you know, it just, as all things, I think it worked its way out, and now we're into our much improved home game setting, but you know.
Yeah, and I think I said the same thing to her, and I said that if you decide to use, you know, longer structures for the tournament, and people get knocked out early, they can always start a cash game on the side with the $5 buy-in, while the other guys play out the tournament and stuff. So there are a lot of things you can do to try to make it sustainable. And I think that, you know, again, if you're going to choose just to play cash games, you should probably just lower the betting limits if your buy-in is going to be max $5. Because that 5-10 cent, you know, anything can happen there, and then, boom, people want to buy in for more. You just can't have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jen, we wish you best of luck on your home game and everybody else who's struggling with home game. Keep those great questions coming, and you know, we'll do our best to make sure your home game is fun and lively.
Now it's time for our Annie Up News Desk.
A state poker summit is scheduled for May in California, so state representatives can meet online gaming operators, Chris, and explore what a regulated online poker framework might look like in the state, according to Gambling 911. The state's pushing forward.
Yeah, hopefully that something like that will start to spread toward Florida, too, you know?
Yeah, you know, and we talked a little earlier about, you know, it might be a little dangerous having individual states regulating, but, you know, hopefully this is just going to push everybody and say, hey, you know, let's not have a bunch of that. We'll just let everybody start playing.
Yeah, exactly.
And in that vein, a spokesman for Representative Barney Frank of Massachusetts says the congressman's bill to repeal the UIGEA is expected to be introduced in March, Reuters reports. That's next month, Chris.
Yep, and you know, maybe one of my predictions was shot down last week, but this one, this one is coming true. So I can't wait for this to finally happen.
Yeah, we'll see. Once it gets introduced, is obviously just the first step, and it's going to work its way through. But I'm hopeful.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
All right, let's see. The Las Vegas Sun reports that a plan to begin a charity poker tour have collapsed into a battle of lawsuits. Sludikoff Gaming Tournaments, who was hired to secure locations for the tournaments, has sued Hall of Fame World Poker Championship for profiting from the work that Sludikoff did without compensating it. And now Hall of Fame is countersued.
Yeah, what does all this mean?
Bad blood. Yeah, it sounded like they were going to do some kind of, they wanted to combine some celebrities and some poker pros and then some regular Joes and some kind of like a little poker tour around Vegas. And this Sludikoff, who was part of the group that started Poker Player Newspaper and a bunch of other publications, they agreed to try to secure some locations, and then I guess maybe these Hall of Fame guys just decided they wanted to go their own way or something, and so that's what the court will sort out.
God, it seems like nothing ever gets off the ground anymore with poker. You know, it's like it always comes up to the courts or not enough money to fund it and stuff. It just seems like all these new projects if 10% of everything that went through that they said was going to go through went through, man, we'd be set. But
yeah,
it seems like nothing ever happens anymore.
It's just crazy getting people working together, I guess.
Yeah.
Pop star Robbie Williams appears to be the latest celebrity smitten with a poker bug, as Gambling Online reports that he's recently been seen at the five-card stud tables in the UK.
Oh, my God.
Gambling Online also says that Williams reportedly challenged Tom Jones to a poker duel, but Jones declined.
That's not unusual to play five-card stud. Five-card stud? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's totally like Cincinnati Kid over there in UK, man.
Jeez. Now, you got to tell me, who is Robbie Williams?
He's big. He's big, huge, overseas. He was over here in the States for a while, and I think he had maybe one hit over here that really kind of got him going. But I think he's a bigger deal over there.
Yeah, I never got him. I think back in the MTV days when I was a kid, he had like one video, and I watched it, and I thought, who is this guy, man? What is this? And then I never watched it again. I just don't get him, It's kind of like Neil Young. I don't get him either, but whatever.
It's because they all have manly voices.
Yeah.
Trouble with that. But you can imagine heads up against Tom Jones at the stud table and he gets slapped in the face by some woman's panties or something.
I was thinking the same thing, man. The guy tries to check raise and he gets slapped in the face with a thong.
All right, Chris, we'll close it out with this gem. UltimateBet.net is the official Canada sponsor of WrestleMania 25, awarding a winner-take-all prize package that includes a trip to WrestleMania in Houston. But this tournament, of course, is only offered to Canadians on their site because they are the Canadian sponsor of this American sport.
Wow, so we have a site that's based in Costa Rica offering a plan to Canadians to come to Texas.
That's exactly it.
To watch a bunch of fake wrestling.
The wonderful world of poker.
Oh, my God.
But here's the thing. I think I have figured out how Phil Hellmuth is going to arrive at the World Series this year now. He's going to come in wearing one of those wrestling singlets and with a bunch of buxom ring guard girls, right?
Yep.
And maybe get body slammed by the Iron Sheik or something, when he's a little late for the event like he always is.
He's going to go up to Gorilla Monsoon and say, "You can't beat the poker brat! I challenge any one of you!
George the Animal!" Oh, man. All right, well, that's the news for this week.
Well, I got my headset on here, so I'm not sure if I can actually hear it, but I'm sure that the hotline is ringing off the hook now.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's good, because I didn't realize we had very many hotline calls this week.
Oh, let me say the number real quick. It's 813-448-1120, and you call that number and we use it. We're going to send you something from our swag shelf. So let's listen to the clip that we have today.
Hi, my name is Scott Long. I'm from the Tampa Bay area. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, and I just wanted to say I just absolutely love the Anti-Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars.com. It gets me through every Friday. The only thing I can say is that Chris is kind of whiny every once in a while, so maybe he's a little less whiny. That would be kind of cool. But I just wanted to call because I was so excited about the swag shelf, and I just hope that when Chris spins that big prize wheel, I get a big, huge prize because I just, I just love free stuff, and all I have to do is call a hotline to get it. So that's it. I just wanted to tell you I love the show, and keep doing it. Thanks.
Wow, he sounds like a great guy.
Wow, man. I'd want to go into business with that guy.
Yeah, you know, you just might. Wow, you know.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm going to...
Well, you know, hopefully this will encourage some folks to actually make that hotline call. It's not toll-free, but it's free on your cell phone.
Yeah, and it's free on...
great swag. That's all it takes.
I know.
Don't be scared.
What's the deal? So, you know, Scott, I'm going to spin the wheel.
All right. It's my first piece of swag.
And I'm going to see what it lands on for your swag. Here we go. Oh, my God. Scott, you've won the mother load.
Wow, really?
You are getting the $10,000 seat to the World Series of Poker main event.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, if only someone else had called today.
Exactly. That was like the big prize in our swag shelf. And, wow, imagine all those thousands of Annie Up listeners out there that are kicking themselves now because they decided to watch Lost instead of call the hotline this week.
Hey, it's a good thing that we don't have that fine print that says anyone who's associated with Annie Up cannot win any of the prizes. Otherwise, you'd have to surrender that main event seat.
Yeah, but we also have like that big print that says Annie Up Publishing does not have $10,000 in his account to fund this prize. So
we don't have $10 in the account to fund anything. We couldn't even buy you the comp lunch that's across the way from the Rio's room, man.
Oh, man. All right, but seriously, folks, get on that hotline, get on the mailbag, and get on the hand of the week. We want to hear from you and give you some free stuff.
Well, speaking of the mailbag, we got someone talking to us about the World Poker Tour Season 7. AZ Slick, he's not happy with it. He says they reached a new low when they went to the 2 1-hour format. He says, it's insane. I have seen two episodes from two different tournaments, and I'm not sure if they're the same time back-to-back weeks or not. He doesn't know what's going on. It seems like it's always in flux. But what they're doing is they're stretching out the season. I think they dropped so many of the events that they had to make it work for 26 weeks. So they're intentionally trying to keep you to watch it from week to week, which I'm not a big fan of. But I would be a fan of it if it was like two-hour episodes, because then you could get more poker in.
Yeah.
But if it's just the same thing as it used to be, where it's just a two-hour show cut in half, it's really just not helping out. I agree with him. I think that they should just stick with 1 2-hour format instead of the 2 1-hour format.
Now, let me ask you this. If you were a non-poker player, do you think it might be a little more accessible that you only have to commit an hour a week to this event?
Well, I would say yes, except that if I'm a non-poker fan, the only thing I care about if I'm non-poker but I'm watching the show is to see a winner. And if I can't see a winner, which I can't half the time, I'm going to be frustrated.
A very good point. Very good point.
Thank you. Anyway, now we got to spin the wheel again. You want to spin it from over there, or you want me to spin it here?
All right. I'll spin it virtually. Oh, all right. And Slick, you know, because you're constantly peppering us with great stuff, you're a double swag winner. Today you win a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from greatpokerhands.com. So enjoy those out there, Slick. And hopefully some other folks will be sending us mailbag here soon.
Greetings, this is Columbo from pokerwannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 Minute Mystery. The case of the overturned kayak. We are playing the 8-game mix on Stars, and it's the Pot Limit Omaha rotation.
Better to stick with what you know.
In this hand, I'll be in the small blind, a difficult place to be in PLO. But remember, since this is a rotation game, we are only six-handed. Fold, call, and I look at 10 of clubs, 10 of spades, King of Hearts, 7 of Spades. Okay, far from a great hand, but it's half a bet with no raise, and we do have set value. Since I don't expect the big blind to try and steal 3 big bets, I simply call. Big blind calls. Pot is 4 big bets, and 4 players see a flop. 4 of clubs, 10 of diamonds, queen of diamonds.
Glad I had that cup of coffee.
Bingo, we hit our set, but of course we have no valid redraws. So my strategy here, when this happens in PLO, is to try and keep the pot small until a blank falls on the turn. At this moment, I may even be a dog to the existing draws. I check, two other checks, and our big blind bets out three quarters of the pot. Now in PLO, this screams I want action, but nevertheless I'm willing to call here at this point. I'm reading slash hoping that my fellow checkers are not looking for a check raise and are simply going to tag along or leave. I call, our two tag along checkers fold, and the pot is now 10 big bets when the turn pairs the board with a queen of spades. Now, this is a pretty good card, but not a perfect card. We went from, we have the current fourth nuts, and now the diamond redraw is no longer a concern. I don't think it's overly surprising here that I'm going to bet pot. But what may be overly surprising is our big blind immediately calls. The pot is now 30 big bets, and we find ourselves with only 28 big bets now behind in our stack. The river is the jack of diamonds. Now, what's your action?
This is Graham. He's new to PokerStars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the PokerStars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined PokerStars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Hey, Scott, it's my favorite time of the year.
What time is that, Chris?
High Stakes Poker is back on GSN with a new season.
That's right. That's right. We didn't know it was going to be back.
I know.
Back.
I know. Now I'm so stoked. It's season 5 debuts March 1st, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And what better way to celebrate than to have our favorite paisan on the show, Mr. AJ Benza. Hey, AJ, thanks for joining us today.
What's happening, guys?
Not much. Just
even my favorite time of the year is March Madness. You're going to take poker over March Madness?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm a UConn fan, so I got a lot to root for.
That's right.
Hey, so the last time you were on the show, it was because, you know, you had a little venting to do. We all thought maybe High Stakes was going to get canceled, but now that that's all in the past, just how close was it to being canceled?
It was gone.
It was gone.
And I tell you, it ticked me off because I know, and you guys know, the fan base the show has, what's that nerdy show that never clicked with America, but it had its core fan, Freaks and Geeks?
Freaks and Geeks.
I mean, Scott Apatow was involved in that. I mean, that show had everything that the geek America wanted, but it didn't last. Well, everybody in that show lasted. This show is the kind of same thing. We have a core audience and a base of fans that are so crazy for the show. I'm going to say about 600,000 fans that tune in. And the GSN went under a network sort of change. They had a new boss come in, a woman come in named Kelly Good, who, that frightened me, and it made us all think the network was going to slant toward a woman's point of view, and it is. But she couldn't overlook the fact that High Stakes Poker had a fan base that made it the network's number one show. But it took months to convince her, and it was horrifying for me because, you know, we literally went through a year without working.
Yeah.
And now that ain't easy these days to go a year without working for a paycheck.
Right.
So, I with the help of you guys and a lot of bloggers who I don't even know their names, who have crazy blog names. I went to the mattresses and I said, look, if you guys want the show back, you better open your mouths and make some noise because I don't think these people at GSN know how crazy you guys are. And you did. And I think I really think that was a big part of them bringing us back. And now, we're really looking for a 52-week commitment after this 13 weeks are done. So this could be a long run. We could be here for a while.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we didn't overreact then. We actually...
No.
No, okay.
Listen, passion is a good thing. You know, too many times in television, this is a really crappy business. You know, if you think back on your life, how many shows you loved on TV, whether it was a sitcom or whatever, and they go to two seasons, and it stays in your head the rest of your life, some shows. I still have shows that, I'm 46, there are still shows that lasted two seasons in my life, three seasons, that I still recite lines from. So it's perfectly wonderful for you to be obsessed with a show that's been on four seasons and is trying to get its fifth season. And to me, it was a rocky story, and I love that we're back on. We're having a good time.
Awesome.
All right, so tell us.
This is coming from a guy who knew crap about poker in season one and two. So for me to be excited, you know something good's going on.
All right, so I assume it's worth the wait, right? It's a good season?
It's a good season. I'll tell you why it's good, because this year you got the veterans against these young guns. And this, we finally opened the door for these young gun internet guys. And a lot of these, you know, the old timers like Brunson. We got, you know, Daniel Negreanu, Barry Greenstein, Doyle Brunson, Elliot Lezra. So far on the first five shows we've done so far, we've got those five veterans. First is, you might have heard of some of these guys, Peter Eastgate, Ilari Samiez. One guy I got to point out who is unequivocally the best poker player I've ever seen. He's 22 years old. You heard of Tom Dwan?
Yeah.
We were going to ask you about him.
This guy is... He's like Rain Man good. There's something going on in the left side of his brain. And no one, he's amazingly figures out every single hand. He makes Doyle Brunson, who I know is spectacular, seem like a dunce at the table at times. It's just, wait till you see what happens. Poker takes a tough turn for Daniel Negreanu the first five shows. There's a big $500,000 pot that an old-timer wins over a young gun. Primarily, these young guys, the Sahamias, the Eastgates, and the Dwans, they come out swinging, and Dwan especially. Man, I've never seen poker like his on high stakes for the last five seasons.
Gosh, so wow. So now you mentioned that you did about five episodes already?
We've done five. We've still got another eight to shoot. They're all taped and packaged up. It's just me and Gabe are going to lay the voices down. We fought for things this season. You know how you see a show. It's natural. The way the show begins with me and Gabe are on camera, and the action begins. This year they wanted the action to start the show, and me and Gabe to come on during the second commercial break, and it just didn't feel right. It was like we got to welcome people back, you know. And we fought for that. I think we won that battle. So little battles in between the larger picture that I think so far we've won. I think what they didn't want, GSM was afraid that, you know, Gabe and I got this little shtick down where he's pissed off at me because I don't know crap about poker and I'm trying to learn. We have this thing going down that we love doing. And I think the people at GSM are like, can they not be as nasty to each other? We just want to, I think they want to inform a lot more people what's going down at the tables. Rather than keep the 20,000 hardcore crazy experts, with their fix. So we want to try to open it up more to get more people involved in the game. And I think that's where I come in this year. Finally, I can be as stupid as I want and ask the questions that might get me smacked at a high stakes game. I can do it now without Gabe having to come over the top on me.
Well, you know, you talk about your banter and the remarks that you guys, you know, make and. How much of that is ad-libbed, and how much of that is, you know, you think it up beforehand?
Well, you know, we'll do the voiceover. We'll voice the shows over. Then that night we'll go and do the stand-ups. And Gabe, and I got to give a lot of props to our producer, Maury Ashkandani, who knows all these guys and has been playing poker since he's 20, came here from Iran. He is a genius in the whole – every poker show you watch is because of Maury. Poker at the Dark, you name it. But he writes these things in his head. We have like an idea of what we're going to say, and once the camera turns on, you know, you're with Gabe Kaplan. You can't forget that the guy's been doing comedy for I don't know what 50 years.
Yeah.
So the timing, I feel like I'm on a vaudeville circuit sometimes. The timing is his timing is great. Some of his references are a little old. We kind of talk about Groucho Marx a little too much, but, you know, I slip in a couple of rap references. Like last week, somebody threw their chips up in the air by a little bit of by accident, and I said, I think Doyle's making it rain. And he goes, and Gabe had no idea. That's when rappers put their money in the air, Gabe, you know. I don't think Doyle's making it rain, but, you know, so I'm getting my view in there too now. So, I know we had some fun. You know, I wish you guys could see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. We can't ever show these things because every player is mic'd, you know, and then we turn down mics, we turn up mics, and sometimes things happen beneath the waist during a game of poker, as you can imagine. You don't want to leave the table. We heard David Benjamin say this season that one time he went 20 hours without taking a leak because he couldn't leave the table. 20 hours.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't care how good the poker is. Have you ever come to the house from your car and not made it to your car? That sprint from your car to the bathroom where nothing matters. I don't care if Jessica Alba's in front of my door. I'm getting in the bathroom. Not David Benjamin. But Bill Brunson had a little mishap today. Last week, we turned his mic up and, you know, Big Papa, I'm not going to divulge. I can't have the world here, Big Papa, have a little fart. That's just, you don't do that. But, you know, these things happen. The man was reaching for his crutch to get to the buffet table, and, you know, things happen.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because I watched a couple of the preview clips for this season. And, you know, the players are so chatty, which is great, because people love to see that what they actually talk about at the show. But is that how you guys get your words in endwise, is, you know, toning them down on the mics a little bit to work stuff in?
Yeah, you know, the players, I mean, that's the beauty of our show, is that the players talk as much as they do. Maury will tell us this next hand, the players talk constantly. There are some things we have to talk over. Sometimes these guys are talking about side bets and propositions that we don't want to talk about too much. Some conversations are very private that we've got to talk over. So our timing is very important. We have to know when to come in. We have to know when to lay out. It's kind of a little ballet we do, and usually after two or three hands, after seeing the hand two or three times, we get it right, and we move on. But you just got to be careful. They talk about other casinos. You know, these guys are playing poker 3 days straight, 3 days a night. So like 40 hours of poker is going on, and that's how we cut 13 episodes out of 40 straight hours of poker. So you can imagine the conversations that go on. I mean, this year alone, we wanted to cover. I swear to God, I would have come over the top this year. And some of the stuff that Tom Dwan says, I mean, he sounds like Napoleon Dynamite. All right, and he just and you know, like if somebody says something like to him, "What'd you have, King? You know, King Jack?" And he says, instead of just saying no, he'll go, "Huh, that's like the worst hand I could have had." I would punch that guy's face in a high-stakes game. But these guys, the game has changed. You know, they want these young guys involved. But 22 years old, the guy's a millionaire. I mean, I don't know how – where do you see him? He has a very slow, deliberate way of throwing his chips out. You want to put the clock on him instantly. He's very slow. We edited it out because he holds on to his chips before he bets for a good minute. It's horrifying.
Wow.
So we sped that up. Thanks to the editing team. He seems like he's a legitimate raiser, but he takes forever. Forever.
Well, I did want to ask one more question about him, because he's certainly in the news a lot now. He certainly doesn't lack for confidence, and I assume that came across in this while he's playing, right?
Yeah, it does. And there seems to be he has no nerve. He's not nervous at all up against the likes of Brunson and those guys. And I gotta tell you, there are times when he's running really good, he plays a king five, and you could just see the disgust in Bill Brunson's face, you know, because in 20 years ago, the king five was never played. You just mucked it.
Yeah.
But in this young gun generation, I don't know, king five is a pot of gold for these guys. They play it. They're risky. They come over the top on it. They bluff great. So Doyle is Doyle still wins his share of hands, but it's not his poker anymore. It's not your father's Oldsmobile anymore, is the way I look at it, you know? It's a different kind of poker being played, and Dwan is definitely the leader in that kind of, you know, pompous, kind of confident. And he talks, you know, like Sami has barely says a word. The only thing Sami has asked for is his vodka drink. That's the only thing I hear him say. But Dwan does a lot of talking, a lot of chatting, a lot of it.
Now, last year, you guys had a $100,000 buy-in, but then at the end of the season, you wrapped it up with a $500,000. Now, this year, you guys are starting with $200,000. Does it stay there, or do they, you know, break out a $1 million buy-in at the end of the year?
I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know where it's going to go yet. That's a simple question to ask, but I really haven't asked Maury. I do know when the show became, when people know it was coming back on the air, we had a lot of people who wanted to be on the show, and some of the names you wouldn't believe. I mean, from a Baldwin to you know, a lot of actors who got game and a lot of money, and they're very gently dissuaded from playing because they would just get cut up. They would get, this is not you know, poker after dark where you got $20,000 and you can't really get too hurt. This is a different kind of animal, man. I mean, you can get wiped out in a couple of hands. So I do know we were actually, believe it or not, trying for Michael Phelps. This is way before the bong hit, okay? So I don't think Michael's going to play poker for a while publicly, but He had meetings with our producers about playing for a couple of hands and a couple of games, but they couldn't work it out schedule-wise. But I don't think you're going to see that now for a while, unfortunately. But Michael's a big poker player.
I wonder what a gold medal would have gone for at the table.
Oh, I'm sure he would have thrown it down at one point. if he goes up against Blonde, he better bring all his gold, man. He ain't going to get out of there without giving him some jewelry.
Hey,
you mentioned some celebrities, but you do have some celebrities that are actually on the show this year, right?
Not so far, unless you know more about I do. The first 5-6 weeks, we haven't had any celebrities. Not the first five games have just been hardcore poker guys. Not rubs yet. Do you know something I don't know?
No, I just thought I saw a list somewhere that mentioned, you know, like Sam Simon from Simpsons and a couple other folks like that.
He might be coming in. We just finished the first five. March 10th, we shoot the next four shows. So there's a new group of guys coming in. So I'll let you know. I'll email you guys. Let you know who's coming in, and we can do this again. But so far, the young guns have showed a lot of guts, and that's a new kind of poker being played. But there aren't the pots. We've seen about three $500,000 pots so far in five games, and I still marvel at the fact that when these guys win or lose, they just stay stoic. They don't make any kind of noise. They don't make any kind of. They just don't act like they give a damn. It's remarkable to me. But Barry Greenspan does have a new catchphrase this year that he's trying to market into this. It's called "Math is idiotic," and he just wants people to realize that sometimes the percentages are against you. It doesn't make sense to make a move, but if you feel it, you do it. And I could say that in one game, "Math is idiotic" really helped Barry a lot in one particular hand. I mean, you know, a lot.
Well, here's the most important question of the day. How many Godfather references did you make so far?
Oh, show one, I think I yelled that I'm smart, like Fredo. You know, we definitely say go to the mattresses. I do a Fredo. There's a lot of those. As a matter of fact, even on the stand-ups, me and Gabe get in. You know, a Jew and Italian from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. Gabe and I grew up in the same kind of neighborhood. Not grew up, but we're from the same area of Brooklyn. And Jews and Italians in those areas, it's called Jew York, that area. It doesn't matter what you are. You're either a guinea or a gangster or a Jew. The bagel maker knows the guy who makes the guns. Everybody's the same person. So when we start riffing, it's like I'm back in Brooklyn talking to the gang, to the guys. It's great. So we thought we had a dinner before the season began about the way we talk to each other and how we act. And we said, yeah, look, whatever we can do to get 52 more weeks, we'll do. We want the show to go on forever. And after like the second voiceover, we were just like, you know what? We can't. We got to be who we are. We got to talk the way we talk. And we're not. You know, there's some. Look, you have to understand. There's a woman that heads the network on us. So some references we can't. Like for instance, Gabe, and I know what small ball poker means, but for the sake of the joke, Gabe said Doyle's playing small ball poker, and I said, what does that mean? And he said, what do you think it means? And I said, I thought it meant that, you know, you're playing poker under. You know, with your body in the cold ocean or some shit, like, referring to shrinkage. I don't think that. I hope that gets by the female president, but you never know. We should be getting notes this week on what doesn't jive. But we're still going for it. We're still making fun of things. But the 20,000. Let's say this: if there's 100,000 experts, I mean, really hardcore guys, they're not going to be disappointed. And I think it's going to open the doors. For new folks who, you know, cause let's face it. I mean, it's poker. You guys know better than I do. Is poker? It's not on the rise anymore. It's where it is. It's where it's going to be. And I think there's only a couple of shows left standing, and ours is one of them. I mean, there was a boatload of shows 4 or 5 years ago, and that's kind of dwindled away. So I think people are going to be really happy with it. And I think with the addition of these young guys. I think it's going to make it be a lot more popular. Even though it's not the demographic per se of GSN, I think chicks are going to start to dig poker like chicks dig the long ball. You know, this could be the new steroids. Internet steroid players could be the new Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire in the sports world. That's what we need. If Tom Dwan pumped a little iron, man, I would question. I would think there might be steroids involved, but there's not. He's just a skinny geek from New Jersey who knows numbers. That's really what he is.
Oh, my God.
Tell us a little bit about Peter Eastgate, our new world champion. You know, a lot of the chatter on the internet is that he doesn't really He doesn't have a real good TV presence. Did it come across on the show?
You know, I'm glad the internet chat has said it first, because I don't want to spoil any fun, but he doesn't. He really doesn't. He hasn't done anything yet to provoke a big hand, or he hasn't come out with a big bluff yet. He was timid to begin with. He's involved in a couple of big hands, but no, the presence, there's absolutely no presence there. It's like it's just like watching a peanut with a hood on. There's just nothing going on. In fact, one day, the most personality we got out of him was he threw the wrong color chip out. He threw a $20,000 chip out. He wanted to make it a $5,000 raise and made it $25,000, something like that. He threw an extra $20,000 out. And Dwan picked it up. Negrano picked it up right away. Elliot Ezra picked it up. They knew he made a mistake. And Eastgate stayed calm. And then afterward, he chuckled and said, wrong color. Wrong color. Ha, 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 $25,000. Sorry. And that's the most we got out of him for a while. So he's not – I wouldn't look to him for entertainment at all.
Man.
Even though he's a world champion, he's not a world-class talker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So far, in the battle of wits, he might win, but he's not witty.
Have you seen Phil Ivey yet?
Not yet. Not yet. We've seen him in shows past, but he hasn't come on. He hasn't come aboard yet. I wish I had a list of who's coming aboard, but I don't think there's no Sammy Farr this year. I don't believe there are some other new guys, but I don't have a list in front of me. But I think Phil. For some reason, I think Phil does show up. I think for some reason.
Yeah, I think I heard that Phil Ivey makes an appearance again, and you know he's never had a real good record on high stakes in the past.
No.
So you know you always hear how great he is, and you want to see that. So I hope it happens.
I agree. Helmuth, I don't believe Helmuth's back, but I think we all need a break from Phil for a while. But we definitely reference Phil quite a bit. We love to say that there's a new, you know, the youngest world champion now is now Eastgate, no longer Helmuth. So we constantly get that in when we can. We love to tweak Helmuth. So there's all little side things like that we do to piss people off and get people angry. And you know, the phone calls come in. From the stars who played, and I will tell you ahead of time though, you're not, for some odd reason, this so far has not been the season for Negreanu. He's off his game. I mean, he's just making mistakes that you just don't see Daniel make. Wow. I mean, hand after hand, it just doesn't make sense. Something's up. So, and I even picked up. I mean, everybody knows Daniel likes to blink his eyes like crazy. He has a little tick.
Yeah.
But when he starts to do things poorly, his tick kind of disappears. When his eyes tick quickly, he's doing well. He's thinking. When he's not twitching, he ain't working. It's almost like the electrical current in his body is going out, and it comes across that way this first five games.
Well, we're so happy that you agreed to talk to us again today, and we're looking forward to the whole season. Is there anything else you want to tell us before we let you go?
I want to thank you guys, and I want to thank the bloggers out there, a lot of whom I don't know who their names are. But they made a lot of noise. First, they hated me, and then they came around the top and supported the show and supported a guy like me who is learning as I go. And without those guys, I really think that you guys made a difference in this season becoming getting on the air, as opposed to this woman, Kelly Good, just saying, not going to do it. So if this first 13 weeks are good, we'll go 52 more. And you guys will get sick of me again in the next couple of seasons, but that'd be good.
Awesome, AJ. Well, it was our pleasure, man. We really appreciate you talking to us.
Good
take
luck,
it
bro.
Easy.
All right. You got it.
Bye-bye. Take care, AJ.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer, better known as the Fossil Man, and you are listening to Annie Up.
Okay, we have a live hand this week, Chris.
Awesome.
I love live hands. You know, obviously the online ones, they have all the details that we always get tripped up on. But,
right.
You know, live hands seem to be a little more organic.
Organic? Or organic?
No, it's organic. All the kids are saying it now. The T is very important.
Okay.
All right, so this comes from Mike in Chatsworth, Georgia. I think we've heard from him before, too, but this is a great hand, so here we go. It happened at a local, and he has it in quotes, poker club.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess it's probably, obviously, it's Georgia. There's not real poker there, so it's
right.
Poker. A tournament with 110 players, 265 rebuys and add-ons.
Good God.
And he adds, Chris, yes, I am dead serious.
Good God.
That is a tournament for me. So the entry was $35 and rebuys were $25, and I guess the add-on is $50, says. So blinds are at 500 to 1,000. The rebuy period had ended an hour before. 50 players remain with the top 11 paid.
Okay.
All right, and looks like $6,600 to, or he says $6,600 to win and $3,300 to first. Mm. I'm guessing $6,600 might be the whole prize in.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
$3,300. Right. Okay. Our hero is sitting on a stack of 16K. Remember, the blinds are 500 to 1,000.
Right.
He says his image was tight aggressive, right?
Yep.
Only showing down premium hands. He's been a little more aggressive lately, winning a few pots uncontested. And he also did not rebuy or add on very well. Very
cool.
Nice. Very, very
cool.
Nice. All right, so the under the gun limps. He says this player is very loose aggressive and has 40K in front of him. He's been caught bluffing recently, but seems to be one of the better players at the table. Folds around to our hero in the cutoff seat with 8 of hearts, 9 of hearts.
I love that hand.
Why do you love that hand?
Oh, it's just a great hand. It's, you know, the suited connector thing. It's, no one really puts you on that hand when you play it aggressively, and I just love it. I love that. I love anything that's somewhere in the middle like that, 9-10, 8-9, Jack-10. It's just a fun hand to play, and you can make so many hands with it, and people usually can't put you on it.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree. The only thing is, the only time I hate playing it is when I have a laggy player early on.
Right.
Because they could be playing the same cards. So it's toss and it's been limped. So do we just want to see a cheap flop, or do we want to get crazy here?
Well, I guess it depends. He said that we had a we've only shown down really big hands. We've been tight aggressive. So if we want to break out of our mold here and change gears, it'd be a good hand to raise with. So I guess it just depends. If he wants to ride our image, then he could just limp with it, and then people will put him on big cards. So that'd be even more of a shock. So I guess it just depends on what we're looking for in this hand. I would say I'd like to raise this hand to see what that guy has, you know. But maybe we just limp along and try to get enough money in there for pot odds to draw at a nice hand later.
Well, you know me, I like to limp now. But in this particular example, you know, if my image is that I'm only showing premium hands, this is the type of hand I like to raise with.
Right.
Because, you know, either I can take it down right now, or if I do hit that hand, people are going to think that I missed or something and not give me credit when I bet out on the, do my little C bet. So I'm going to raise here.
Yeah, like I said, I think that if he wants to play against his image or, you know, use his image to his credit, then yeah, I would raise with it and people will never put me on that hand.
All right. So, what are we going to raise to then?
Well, we got a limper already and it's 500 to 1,000, right?
Right. Right, and we have 16K on our stack.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd make it 3,500 to go, maybe 4,000.
Okay, all right, not bad. Our hero decides to raise to 2,500 instead.
That's tough.
Patented 2.5x raise.
Yeah, I mean, normally I'd say that's good, but you still have the blinds behind you to act, and now you've got a limper in there who probably can't fold, who only put 1,000 in already. He's got 40 grand behind. Right. You know, you're not going to get him out for that. Do you want to get him out? I mean, I might want to get him out. If not,
yeah,
I want to at least be isolated.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think 2.5 is going to get him isolated. I probably would have raised more there.
Okay. All right. Well, it folds around to the big blind who has 20K and is described as a nut job woman who rebought at least 5 times. Almost any 2 could be her range.
Okay.
He said that she'd called him down earlier on all 3 streets with ace 4 offsuit when the board had king 10, 7, king 4. Wow. And then he underlines for emphasis, she will not fold. Oh, we've all been there, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
So she calls, the other gun calls, and we see a flop of queen of diamonds, jack of spades, 4 of diamonds.
All right, so basically all we have is a gut shot here.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Oh, man. This is the problem with not raising enough, because if you're heads up, you could bluff at this, and then or semi-bluff, since you do have a chance at hitting a straight. But even if you hit the straight, you got the low end, so... Oh, man. That's not a good flop for us at all.
Well, okay. Well, she checked around to us, so I think that helps a little bit because now I think we can get away with a C-bet here. And, you know, we do have that gut shot, which is not great, admittedly. But
Well, let me ask you this, Scott. If he says that this woman would not fold,
very good.
Then we don't gain anything by betting here, do we? Wouldn't we want to peel one off for free?
That's true. Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah, and the fact that we're in a hand against a woman who would not fold and a loose aggressive player.
Yeah.
This could be really tough going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think I want to
see
that here.
Can't play both styles.
Yeah, no. I don't want to see bet here. I think I'm just going to be happy I got a free card and then go from there. I would not bet here.
All right. Well, you talked me into it. So, and our hero agrees. So it's checked around, and we see a free turn of the 10 of hearts.
Sweet.
Yep. See, you should have bet on the flop like I wanted to.
Well, again, we still only have the low end. So somebody who has an ace could still turn a king. Somebody who has a king could turn an ace. And somebody could have ace king and being funny. You never know.
Doom and gloom. That's what I love about you.
Yep. King 9 could be there. King 9 could be a hand out there. So, yeah. I mean, I guess we could have bet earlier, but I wouldn't have. I still wouldn't have bet. I'm still happy that I made my low end of the straight, and then I can still get away from this if I have to.
All right. The big blind checks are under the gun player bets 3.5K.
Whoa. Can we really put him on King 9 or Ace King here?
Wow. You know, here's the thing. If he's a loose aggressive, you almost never give him credit for having a hand, so Ace King almost seems weird, although he could have it. King 9. Ugh. So I don't know if even loose aggressive players play that out of position.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to limp with Ace King either.
Yeah, so I don't know.
He might have a pair on a straight draw now.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking we're good. I really do.
Yeah, I think we're good too.
Really do.
I guess I'd have to bump it here.
Yeah, because if you don't raise, then he's going to bet out again on the river, and you're not going to have any information. And we've got a made hand, so, you know, if we get some extra money in from this nut job woman, that's
right,
good.
Right.
Hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to raise too. 3.5K is the bet to us.
Yeah, I mean, if we min raise to 7, we'd only have about 8 left anyway, so we're committing about 50% of our stack, which, if you're committing 50% of your stack, you know, you're telling him that you're going to the end with his hand, so I don't know. I might do a min raise here. I might do a min raise. Or, jeez, I don't know.
It's a tough chip stack because I think you're right. I think you're, you know, as much as we tell people not to min raise, I think that is your option other than going all in here.
Yeah, it's either a min raise or shove. I can't do anything in between. But if you're wrong, you're out, you know. I guess I'd do a min raise and see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to tip it in my favor is that I don't want to be wrong and out. I mean, obviously, we're going to, you know, if we're wrong and we get called here, we're going to have a tough call on the river anyhow. But maybe that river card might help us out. So, all right, so we're all going to min-raise, and that's what our hero did. The big blind nut job woman insta-ships.
Wow.
The end of the gun tanks for 3 or 4 minutes and finally folds a jack face up.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah, that's wrong. Yes, that's wrong.
Well, we were right, though. We're ahead of that loser. What a jerk. But now we can't put this other lady on that hand. Now, what does that person have? That person could have King 9.
Yeah, she could. She could have anything, so.
You know, with King 9, a gut shot, that explains why she checked. Ace King, 2 overs, and essentially what's a gut shot with a 10. Wow. Well, see, I would think that this person would have raised with Ace King, re-raised, but maybe not. God, instant shove. Could be 2 pair.
Yeah, let's see. The turn was a 10. Yeah, I mean, 10 could have easily made a second pair there.
And how much does this woman have?
She started with 20K, so she has us covered.
So she has us covered, and she shoved. Well, you know what? I can't lay down a straight here. I just can't do it, especially in a club league or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, and somebody that could be playing anything. I was much more worried about the loose aggressive player under the gun than I was with this woman, I think.
And here's the other thing, too, is it was a rebuy add-on tournament, and you didn't spend another dime more than your initial buy-in. So if you're wrong, you know, you did really well and chalk it up to experience, you know, and you didn't have to spend so much money to do it. So I can't lay it down here, I don't think. Especially since I'd only have to call what I guess is 7 or 8,000 to win this huge pot.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice pot now.
So I can't lay it down. I have to call.
Yeah, you know what? I can't get away from this either, so I'm going to call too. Our hero says that he thinks he's beat at this point, but 2 pair or a set is certainly possible. But he also wonders whether she slow played ace king. So he ends up deciding to make the call, which is what we would have done, and she rolls over king 9 offsuit,
yeah,
for a
king
big
nine
straight.
Yeah, wow. King 9 makes sense. I just can't get away from the hand. You know, I still have a chance to hit a king on the river and survive, but yeah, I King 9 made sense, you know, because she obviously is a defender and checked, so she hit the gut shot, and it makes sense, you know, but I don't think I can get away from that hand, especially for that buy-in and for what, you know, payoff would have been if I had won that hand, so I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, the river doesn't bring us any help. We are out of here. And, boy, I tell you, I just get sick seeing people play hands like King 9. I was in a tournament last night, and I ended up going out to a guy that called an all-in with King 5 offsuit.
Jeez.
He was playing stuff like that all night. He was he didn't measure out his bets. He just grabbed a stack of chips anytime he wanted to raise. It was always so much that people didn't want to get involved, even though they knew he was playing crap. And, of course, who's the one guy that decides to make a move on this guy when he actually has a hand? Yes, your lovable co-host. And, boom, gone, just shy of the money. But, man, what can you do with these
people? Well, here's the thing, Scott, is if we go back to the beginning of the hand and what we said, making it 2.5x is not enough. And I realize this woman doesn't fold once she's involved in a hand, but I really think if we made it 4,000 to go, she may not have played that King 9 out of position. And then you're heads up with the lag guy, and then you're probably golden because all he had was a pair of jacks.
Yeah, because he's probably not going to fold. He's going to see to the river, and of course we don't know what the river would have done to his hand, but because we only saw one of his cards. But yeah.
Right. Yep. I mean, if you make the right raise there, I think she gets out, and you don't lose to a crappy hand like King 9. So. I think it all goes back to the beginning and how you played it. I think that we said in the beginning that it was just misplayed before the flop.
All right, and he wanted to know whether there's any reason that way he could not go broke with his hand. We just told him, but he says he played it like a donkey, and his punishment is to hear us tear it up on the podcast. I don't know whether we tore it up.
No. We're a kinder, gentler Annie up now.
Yeah. It's not like he's playing King 9 offsuit from the big blind.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know. But really, though, think about your raises and what you're trying to accomplish with them. You know, I mean, some people like to min raise with suited connectors so they get enough money to draw. But a lot of times, that's just a limit, and no limit. People can make a bet very easily on any street that'll give you the wrong odds anyway. So really, min raising with suited connectors is it only works really in limit hold'em. You know, when you have position. So think about what you're trying to accomplish with that raise, and if you made it 4 to 4.5x. You know, that woman might not have been in the hand, then you might have taken down a massive pot. All right, let's spin the wheel.
Ooh, and Mike, you get a beautiful flush card protector from PokerFaces.tv.
Cool.
Yeah, he's got kind of a weird kind of flushy-looking face. You'll have fun with that when you show up at the local poker club. But probably is going to be the face that you have when that nut job woman turns over King 9 offsuit.
All right, well, I'm about to go hit the bed, man. I'm pretty sick and I'm pretty exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get me any sicker than you already are through these interwebs.
Have a good cruise.
Thank you. You have a good time in Connecticut.
Thanks, man. And we'll report back in a couple of weeks about how we did.
Absolutely.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.